I think something that goes untalked about and unexplained with pregnancy is very beautiful. But the side that people don't talk about, pregnancy is a very, very kind of isolating thing. Mm. And it's something that's like a feeling that I struggle with. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
Today, we are talking about pregnancy round technically 3.
Yes.
But long-term round 2.
So we have put together a list of questions here that we're just going to talk through, see how this one differs from the previous one. And yes. See how things are going, because it's definitely been different.
It's been so different. But before we get started, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to
the show on whatever platform you're listening on.
Please do so. And please comment down below. Give us your thoughts on topics that you want us to cover, on what you think about just the show.
Also, we're doing predictions now for the due date of this child.
Yeah.
The sooner the better. But if you have a guess as to when this child will come, go ahead and comment it if you're on YouTube down below. And you ready to roll into this?
Let's do it, baby.
Let's hit it. Okay, so first question, babe. Walk me through how this pregnancy has been different than the last.
Okay, so before we dive into this episode, I want to just have a disclaimer. This pregnancy has been great, but also difficult for so many reasons that we'll dive into. And I want you guys to know, like, from the get-go, that just because I tell you things that have been difficult and hard and I vent doesn't mean I'm not so beyond happy and ecstatic and blessed to be pregnant. Yeah.
Disclaimer. I accept the disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Thank you. But how has this pregnancy been different? It has been different in probably every possible way. Literally. We are having a little boy. We found out around 20 weeks and 16 weeks. And it made so much sense when we found out we were having a boy, because from day one, my symptoms were different. With Drew, I really wasn't nauseous. I had headaches with Drew and I was tired. But with this little guy, I felt super nauseous. I didn't have any cravings. I don't know. It's just like the original symptoms were completely different.
I feel like Drew's pregnancy was stressful from an emotional standpoint kind of easy from a physical standpoint. And this one's been actually
it's completely flipped.
No, or hard on both, actually, because you had COVID during this pregnancy. You had allergies for months, dude. You couldn't breathe. The baby's way bigger, so you're more uncomfortable. The baby grew faster. Mm-hmm. He's like 4 weeks ahead of Drew. So
okay. So I want to take you back, though, to the first trimester. I got hit with emotions and hormones really hard this time. A little bit different than Drew. I think something that goes untalked about and unexplained with pregnancy is very beautiful. And there are so many people out there that love, love, love being pregnant. Because, and I am one of them. As soon as you become pregnant, something switches inside of you where you go into mom mode and you feel this like purpose and you feel filled and you feel so much love and all of these things. But the side that people don't talk about, and I remember I was having a hard night. I was emotional. I don't know, you know, how it was being shown. I can't remember. But I remember you and I talking and me just trying to explain it to you that pregnancy is a very, very, I don't want to say isolating, but kind of isolating thing. Mm. And it's something that's like a feeling that I struggle with, because all of your hormones are changing and you're so exhausted and you're nauseous and you can't eat certain things and you can't do certain things and your life is just consumed with the creation of your baby. It kind of isolates you from your community and your friend group. And especially within the first trimester, you aren't sharing the news with a lot of people. So it makes you feel distant. It makes you feel distant from your husband or your spouse sometimes, because your emotions are all crazy. And then later on in the pregnancy, with your changing body and insecurities and just all of these things, it causes a distance. And I think I was really emotional at the beginning because, one, I was so ecstatic to be pregnant again and the fact that we were able to get pregnant again. But two, I was really scared because that was a hard part of our pregnancy with Drew, was how we dealt with it and how I dealt with it with our friends and our family. And I was daunted by taking that on again. So it kind of psyched me out from the beginning a little bit.
I feel like I don't give you enough credit for what that must feel like.
It's okay.
Also, it's, I mean, obviously it's the elephant in the room. Maybe that's a bad analogy to use in this scenario, yeah. But like,
why?
But like, you're pregnant and it affects every second of every day for you, but you can't, nobody likes the person that like says, oh, I'm pregnant, I can't do this. Or, hey, did you know I'm pregnant? Or like talks about pregnancy all the time. But obviously it affects you all the time. So I don't give you.
All right. As a kid, I used to love when my parents would sit down and play a game with us or do any activity. And right here in our hands, we have the KiwiCo box, which is the activity of all activities for young kids.
The colorful chemistry set, to be specific. So with Drew and Jet and Bear, we try to have really intentional playtime. And that's hard because they're all different ages and kind of in different developmental kind of phases of life. I love with KiwiCo that each month we get boxes specific to their ages and kind of like the activity development phase that they're in. So each box, this one's the colorful chemistry set. This has to do with science, but especially with Bear, it can be really hard with a 4-month-old to know like how to interact with him where he needs to be at 4 months old. And I love in these crates, they actually have cards that say, here are activities or things you can do specific to Bear that will help him identify colors or whatever it is. I love KiwiCo.
There's always something new for kids to discover, like learning about the science of ice cream, engineering robots, or doing science experiments, which our kids have loved recently. Sean is currently holding, as she said, the colorful chemistry kit, which has provided hours of entertainment for our kids. They look forward to their new crate every month, and this one kept them really engaged. We got to experiment with mixing oil and water, mixing different colors, and watching how different things react. It was so fun. We basically created our own little chemistry lab with the kids, and we could feel their excitement when they got to play around and mix things together. Plus, it barely made a mess, so it was really quick to clean up and to use again another day. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month of any crate at KiwiCo.com when you use code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code COUPLE.
Enough credit there.
Well, and I think this pregnancy has been completely different than Drew's too, because we have Drew. And coming from the background of being an athlete, Andrew and I are obsessive about our bodies. And that might sound strange.
Clarify, please.
Yeah, not in a like vain way, but in the way of like health. So like in taking good care and like resting and making sure we are taking our supplements and making sure like our body is operating at its highest level.
Yeah, right? And how chiseled our six pack looks.
Okay,
and
no. That's what he said. And with in being pregnant a second time and chasing a toddler around, there's just no time for that. And when I was pregnant with Drew, I did everything I possibly could to really take care of my body, to sleep as much as possible, to keep my feet up, to just sit and watch Netflix for hours on end when I wouldn't feel good, and to make sure I was eating the right thing every single hour and taking all the right vitamins and supplements and like on time, all of it. Well, when you have a toddler who is literally a year and a half and she got COVID and she's had a cold and she's gotten her molars and she's gone through sleep regressions and just all of these things, you don't have time for that. And it's been exhausting and it's made pregnancy a lot harder.
I gotta say though, you've been killing it. And your attitude's been real top notch.
Really? Yeah. I will say though, I've been alluding to like this pregnancy is completely different. I'll give you some details as to why. So I think one of the biggest hurdles to overcome for me mentally when we got pregnant was we weren't really, I don't want to say we weren't prepared to get pregnant when we did, but it was kind of a miracle that we got pregnant on our first try.
Yeah.
And we were expecting it to take a very long time. Like it did with Drew. But I think the reason why that was difficult was because it had been a year since we had Drew and I had finally, not like I was rushing to get there, but I had just gotten to the point where I felt like I was me again. I felt like my core was back. I felt like healed. I felt confident in my skin. I felt like I was truly a mom to Drew instead of just like that pregnancy postpartum body. I felt like we had gotten our groove back. Yeah, I just felt like me. And when you're pregnant, you don't feel like you. Your body is not your own. And so when we got pregnant on the first try, I was like, oh my gosh, that was short-lived. But it's amazing. But the symptoms being different, I, yes, had COVID. I had pregnancy sinusitis or something. I don't know how you say it. Basically,
is that like a real thing? It sounds like you made that up.
No, it's like pregnancy stuffy nose. It's like pregnancy causes you to have a congested nose. It's crazy.
That sounds like some weak sauce. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I'm just saying pregnancy sinusitis. Get real.
Miserable
for you.
It was miserable. I had like allergies for like 4 months. With Drew, she got to be 8.8 pounds, which was a big baby. He's a lot bigger, and I just feel like I'm carrying him a lot different. He feels very like condensed and in the front. Drew felt like she was spread out. He's also already head down as low as possible, which is very uncomfortable. And then something completely different this time around. I have excruciating tailbone pain.
Yeah. An evening at the East household looks like me massaging Sean's left butt cheek. Well, it's pretty much what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's up.
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled babbel.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Episode is brought to you by Best Fiends.
Babe, what you doing over there? You seem a little distracted.
We are in the middle of a podcast episode, but I was just checking my Best Fiends app to see if you'd pass me, because I did just beat a new puzzle on Best Fiends.
Wait, which one?
Well, here's the thing. They came out with some brand new levels and some new characters. They got some guys named Bam. They got Vincent. They got Miles. I'm having a blast right now.
I love when they come out with new characters. I couldn't stop playing last night.
Here's the thing. There's always a new challenge, and it's so easy to pick back up where you left off, no matter how long it's been.
And I love that you can just play for a little bit to zone out at the end of the day or in the middle of the night if your daughter wakes up, and you can pick up right where you left off.
The app's great. It's a fun game, fun puzzles. They got fun color schemes, fun characters, and you can play without Wi-Fi. It really is the best, and you can join in on the fun today, too.
Simply download Best Fiends for free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
We'll link it down below. Let's get back to it. You ready for the second question?
Yeah. Wow.
What have you done differently for this pregnancy that you wish you would have done with Drew? Now you've been through the whole thing once. What lessons did you learn from that time that you carried over to this?
With Drew, I learned that you really can't control anything. That it is truly a miracle that is in God's hands. And you and I spent majority of our pregnancy with Drew worrying and in fear. And with this little guy, I feel like we've been excited from day one, which has been awesome. We get nervous for sure when it comes to tests or ultrasounds and stuff, but I feel like for the most part, we've just been happy and excited.
So maybe to drill into specifics, when we go to the doctor now or hear whatever results come back, with Drew, we were so tuned into, oh, this is slightly abnormal and what might that mean? And like you get carried away, I feel like, with the negative the abnormal possibilities of what might happen. With
you live in a world of what if.
Yeah, like fear of.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, I guess with Drew, you just realize every kid's different, man.
Yeah.
Just, it is how it is. And life will be great no matter what it looks like.
Well, and.
Yeah.
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 And I think something else that I've done differently this time around than I did with Drew is with Drew, I beat myself up that I had to be that perfect pregnant person. So don't you dare take a bite of a sandwich, or don't you dare
soft cheese.
Yeah. Whatever it is. And I'm not saying that I intentionally go out and eat a cold turkey sub or whatever it might be, but I've given myself a lot more grace this time around and just living my life and under the right guidelines. But I think it makes me more sane and makes the pregnancy easier.
Yeah, I actually feel like you've still adhered to all of the protocol per se, but anytime you might missed up a little bit, it's not this huge emotional like journey for you.
Yes.
Do you feel more prepared for this pregnancy?
I think so. Well, yes and no. Let me say yes and no.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I feel more prepared for this baby. I feel less prepared for this pregnancy.
I'm nervous for the next couple of weeks, dude.
Me too. When we got pregnant, I felt like I was like, oh, I know exactly what to expect. I know at week 30, I'm going to start, you know, slowly getting super uncomfortable and just all these things. And then starting by week 10, this pregnancy was completely different in every way, shape, or form. And I was like, I don't know what's happening to my body. And so it feels like it's brand new, which almost makes it harder because athlete mindset, I'm used to like training for something and mentally preparing. And since I'm mentally prepared for almost like the wrong thing, every single week I'm like, oh, I need to reset my expectations and redo my mindset.
What do you mean the wrong thing?
Like, I keep trying to compare this pregnancy to Drew's every week. I'm like, oh, I remember at 36 weeks, this happened. So let's get ready for that. Whereas I still have yet to accept the fact that this is a whole new ballgame.
Yeah. So I want to get a little more specific because you talked about how you do feel more prepared for this pregnancy and you've done some things. What if you could drill down some of the best lessons that you've learned from that first pregnancy? Like, what would the specifics be?
To just not stress, which is really hard, but to truly not stress and just to let it kind of run its course and do its thing and just to be excited for baby and not to be so concerned with all the what ifs, because when you have a kid, every single moment of your life for the rest of your life can be consumed by a what if, because you love your child so much and you want to protect them. But on top of that, just like little things for me, pregnancy, working out makes pregnancy so much better and easier. Keeps me sane, and I feel like keeps me healthy.
Eat more Chick-fil-A.
Eat more Chick-fil-A.
You've definitely eaten more Chick-fil-A.
Or eat more ice cream. I don't know. Just give yourself grace. I feel like, again, I was so obsessed with everything. I was obsessed with gaining the perfect amount of weight and eating the perfect amount of calories. And just like I lost a lot of the joy of pregnancy and just life with Drew because I obsessed so much. And I think you just gotta have to, like, you gotta have just more grace.
I think embracing the chaos, like just having the understanding, hey, it's going to be wild out there. Just got to ride it out. How do you think Drew's going to react when the baby comes?
Oh, I'm terrified and so excited for Drew. Andrew and I were talking about this the other night on date night, actually last week, that my biggest fear when we went into the hospital to have Drew was what it would do to us. Mm-hmm. You were my world, and I couldn't picture sharing you and sharing us with someone else, or how that would even work with your heart. And it did. It was difficult for a while, just getting used to the transition, but it's you, me, and Drew now. Like, it's us.
Yeah.
And I'm terrified going into this little man of the same exact thing. Like, you and her are my world. And I don't know how that expands. I don't want her to ever think she's not my little girl. And yeah, I just don't know how to share. It sounds bad.
I feel like in life you go through these phases of, I remember when my brother first went to college, mm-hmm. and you feel like you lost a brother. And then I remember when he got married and I was like, oh my gosh, he's not my best friend anymore. He's someone else's. Yeah. And like, there's always this fear of what the other side of this phase is going to look like. And for sure with Drew, that first pregnancy, you're like, I feel like we're losing us to a mm-hmm. certain extent. Your marriage, it's like, now we're going to be parents and not, you know, a couple. That was my perspective. And now I have the same thing of like, oh shoot, it's you, me, and Drew, and we're going to lose that a little bit. But mm-hmm. I think you always got to, I guess, tell yourself that the next phase is going to be better.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be better. I definitely am sentimental though, thinking about, my dad is like this all the time. He's like, oh man, this is the last time yeah. we're going to be together as a yeah. family, or this is the last time we'll be in Nashville or whatever. You know, he's always like, this is calling out these milestones in life. And just to realize that this will be the last time, these last couple of weeks, that we get to selfishly mm-hmm. be with Drew mm-hmm. and have that undivided attention for and with her. I don't want to say I'm going to miss it, but it's been great. For and I'm trying to soak it all up right now. You same. Know?
Yeah. We will miss it. It'll be better, but we will miss it.
Are you afraid she's going to have like a tantrum? Like people say,
I'm sure she'll act out. I'm sure she'll get jealous. I'm sure he'll get jealous someday. You know, that's normal, but
are you saying we're going to have a third kid? What was that?
Or he'll get jealous of her.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think our family will change, and I expect everything to change. So Drew will as well, but
I really think she'll be a great big sister.
Oh, for sure. And she's going to love him so much, and she loves babies so much. I pray that I'm capable of being that parent that can still shower her with love and shower him with love at the same time.
We need tips on that, man.
Yeah.
We need some coaching on that.
Yeah.
I'm just so anxious to see what our house is going to feel like when we have a second baby around here, you know?
I know.
It's going to be fun. I'm terrified.
I will say, I went and got a massage today. I went to the chiropractor's office.
Yay.
And there was a 6-week-old baby.
What?
And I was like, yes, I can't wait.
To hold the baby?
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah. Today's episode.
I am so excited for him to join our family.
Yeah. We got a lot to figure out though. Like am I going to be taking Drew and you take baby? I guess we got a game time decision it, because we don't know if he's going to breastfeed or bottle feed, or are you going to pump, or is Drew going to go to school? We got lots of things about that.
Well, and I think the craziest part, it literally makes my hands like start sweating. I was sitting at, like, we were eating dinner the other night, and I had the thought, I was like, how do you put two babies down to sleep by yourself?
Well,
I know we'll figure it out, but it's like, we have Drew's routine. Are you saying like
if one of us is gone?
Yeah. How do you put them both on? You can't just be like, Drew, I'll be back in 30 minutes.
Well, remember, the baby's going to be on a different schedule.
I know. But it's like, are you carrying the baby around while you're trying to rock Drew?
We do.
It's just strange.
Our evening routine is like pretty Drew-centered. So yeah. We're both up there giving Drew a bath. We both will like do her nighttime routine. I ended up putting her in her crib, but that's like the last 5 minutes of the whole process. So that's what I mean while we're trying to soak it all in.
Yeah. Because we used to alternate who would put her to sleep and who would do her nighttime routine. Now it's like we'll both do it every night just so we can
yeah
soak it up.
What? How do you feel? I don't know if I've asked you this about having a boy.
I'm really excited. I don't know what to do with a boy.
It's gonna get rowdy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna get peed on a lot.
What?
That's what people keep telling me.
They're gonna.
Yeah, they're gonna get peed on.
We haven't gotten peed on by Drew at all.
No.
Is that just a timing thing?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't had a boy.
I don't think it's gonna be that much different.
But I'm really excited. I didn't really have a preference either way, girl or boy. I was probably more nervous for a girl because Drew is my girl, you know, and I didn't know how we would separate that. But no, I'm ecstatic.
What do you think are the subconscious differences in parenting that we'll experience? And then what are some of the proactive ways you're going to parent differently with a second? So I already feel like we are, just because of the time that we have available, less like future focused of, hey, you know, we're not going to worry about what the next step is. It's like, no, we're just riding out because we have Drew to take care of. And then we also are less focused on like getting everything ready because I feel like we know we have everything that we need mm-hmm. pretty much. So there's already this, hey, you know, this baby's just going to pop right into the scene and not yeah. create this whole setting for them.
I agree with that. I feel like with Drew, we were reading every book of like, what do we need to do to prepare and what milestones should she be hitting by the day? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of it. We were super vigilant about that.
Vigilant.
Vigilant.
Yeah. Diligent.
They both work. No?
Does it? Hold on. Let me see.
Vigilant. Does it?
Does it? Vigilant? Keeping careful watch for possible danger. Okay. I'll give it to you. Go ahead.
Maybe.
Continue.
Diligent. About everything with Drew. And with this little man, I feel like we're just kind of in the mindset right now of, oh, we've done it. We'll take each day as it comes and we'll ride it out.
Mm-hmm. And then I would like to consciously make the effort to, one, enjoy the process more.
Yeah.
Two, realize that you only get this phase once or twice, or however many kids we have. Like the infant stage is so stressful for so many reasons, but also like it's the best because the cuddles and you just are in this weird haze, which is not always great, but it's also special in some ways. Yeah.
Well, I feel like with your first two, you don't know what to expect. People try to prepare you, but until you've gone through it, you don't understand. And so, yeah, you're in a state of insanity because you're sleep deprived and food deprived and you don't know what you're doing and your baby's crying and it's just, it's crazy. But then like Andrew and I watched our birth vlog the other day and both started bawling and it was like, oh, if only we knew now.
You didn't cry. I was the only one out there crying.
Okay. If only we knew now though, how fast that goes and then it's truly just a phase. And like, I just want to cuddle Drew and I want to go back and choose a baby and soak it in and not be like, oh, I wish I could sleep 2 more hours.
No, you don't want to go back.
I don't want to go back, but you know what I mean?
Just,
yeah. I agree. I think with this little guy, yes, we're going to be exhausted, but I think we'll approach those long nights a little bit differently, or I want to.
Yeah. I do feel like, to your credit, babe, there's not a whole lot that we will change about parenting because you were so prepared the first time around. Like
Thank
with the
you.
Sleep schedule and the feeding thing and the whole social, like whatever, all of it, you were just like very prepared. So Thank it's you. Not like we learned any hard lessons the first time around that we're going to have to.
Yeah, it worked really well with Drew, what we did. And I mean, he might be completely different and need something completely different that we're going to have to figure out. But I feel like we're prepared to kind of go with the flow on it.
You think the baby's going to come early?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
Frick, I hope he does.
I
for all of our sakes.
Hope if he comes early, he comes after 37 weeks.
All right, that's fair.
But no, I don't think he'll come early.
I think he will, actually. I think he will be born this month.
That would be before 37. We don't want that.
Okay.
First week of July, he can come.
Fun fact, apparently the larger the baby is, the slower they actually develop their organs.
Interesting.
That's what the doctor said.
Yeah.
So like that's especially for this one, since he's so big, we do want him to bake a little longer.
Yeah.
Get his lungs
underneath
him. We want
him to come whenever he is ready.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to figure out this tailbone pain, and then I would be totally fine to hang out for a few more weeks. Mm-hmm. But
before the baby comes, though, we for sure need to figure out a name. Or do you think that's just going to be a hospital?
I think it's going to happen at the hospital. I think we're going to be laying in the hospital holding him, and we're going to be like, okay, you think, how about this one?
We just came across a new one the other day. We're like, huh, add that to the list. So
yeah, we have a list right now of like door. Five that were like, oh, that's hospital worthy, meaning we'll take it to the hospital.
A lot of good suggestions from you all, though. So keep tossing them our way, because the door is open and we don't know what it's going to look like. So anyway, you got anything else, babe?
No, I am so excited. I am so impatient, and I want to meet him so bad. And I'm just so excited for our family to grow.
We should talk about what our schedule will be with all of our content.
Oh, yeah. So we are trying to do a better job this time. Last time we kind of fell off the face of the earth for maybe a week.
We felt like we fell off the face of the earth, and then we stressed our family out by then trying to catch up and post stuff. So we're trying to, again, live in the moment, soak up every second we can with the new baby, and realize that we only get this phase once. And so we have started planning out what the rollout of podcast episodes is going to be. And anyway, just have some content banked so that we can keep posting stuff while we enjoy time with the newborn.
My one big request this time around with Andrew was, because we work from home and we dictate our own schedules, and like our career doesn't really have a timeline unless we make it, we really didn't take like maternity leave at all. We took a week or two off, and then we started working again. And my one big request, especially because we're going to have two, and with the transition with Drew and everything, was I wanted a true maternity leave for us to be a family and to not care about anything else in the world. So we are, like you said, working really hard and diligently.
Vigilantly.
Pregnancy brain. To kind of like backlog a bunch of interviews and content, so we'll still be able to be with you guys while we're gone.
Yeah, so I don't think that we'll even miss a single posting.
You don't think so?
Like,
that's the goal.
Video.
Unless he comes early.
And who knows? By the time you listen to this, we might have a baby. Don't know. Anyway, that's all we have. Appreciate your understanding. We are so excited for this next phase and all the help that you've given us to this point. We look forward to continuing to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing to continue.
Yes.
That during this next phase. So thank you for sharing time with us. Babe, it's been different this time around, but you've still crushed it.
It's been different.
It's been fun to see how you've grown.
Thank you, baby.
And I love you.
I love you. Little man, we can't wait to meet you. Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't yet,
subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening on. That's all we got. I'm Andrew.
I'm Sean.
And we are the East Fam. Out.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode, and again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention, because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.